Nice to see you all this morning. Really is. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 17 of chapter 4. What I wanted to share was about when Jesus Christ called out his men for the first time. And what he said to them was pretty remarkable. I think it's really the first parable. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But I don't know if everybody, very few people agree with me on that. But I was looking over my parables notes and seeing all the parables that I did not teach during that class I did, because I taught the parables concerning the kingdom. And but there are a bunch of other parables, and they don't always fit in the definition of what people think today, which you'll find in the textbook, what people think a parable should be. But the context here is the Lord has just been tempted. Now it says in verse 17, and from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, so he's already out there, he's already teaching. It's probably the beginning of his ministry as far as his teaching ministry goes. And he's walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That, I believe, is the first parable. I will make you fishers of men. It's obviously, they're fishermen, and obviously you don't catch men in your net in the water. So this is like, I am going to make you like what you've been doing for a living and how you've been working and what you've been doing, but instead of catching fish, I'm going to train you to catch men. And straightway they left their nets and they followed him. And before I go on, I'm going to cover each one of the four gospels here that have some information concerning this. But what I want to say, the first thing that the Lord is emphasizing in this record, follow me. And if you follow me, you're going to end up catching men. That's the point. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the point of his life, the point of his ministry, as someone has prayed this morning, the point was to reconcile man back to God. Now, I was taught once upon a time that this phrase, that I will make you fishers of men, is I will make you to be, what was the note? Yeah, to fish or to understand the Torah because of some phrase that's in the Talmud. I'm not going with that. First of all, the Talmud is not the Word of God. It's the other writings from other ancient Hebrew teachers and what they decided. And I just don't think that you should do that. I think it's an interesting side topic for those of you who learned it along with me. But it's not what it says. And the Lord's purpose was to reconcile people back to God. Jesus Christ had these, his disciples. He was training them to go out and win people and to be witnesses unto him and to bring people back to God. And that was his message to them at the end of these Gospels. He says, you know, go out, you know, teach and preach and bear witness of who I am. And maybe we'll get to that later on, but I think you can look at it in each and every one of the Gospels. It was about being witnesses unto him and the gospel message. And it's, and I want to continue here. It says, verse 20, "And they straightway left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the sons of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and diseases among the people." And they get to see it all with him. Now, go to Mark. I want you to put all this together because we're going to, like I said, we're going to each one. Each one's got a little bit of information that puts some color to what's going on here. Mark 1, in verse 5, I believe. Or maybe it's 15. The Lord starts again in verse 15. It says, "And saying, this is the fulfillment of the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come you after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he was gone a little further, thence he saw James the son of Zebedee and John the brother also, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." And then they go out and they start, Jesus Christ starts moving the word again. The call was to follow him, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, not people, not ministries, not men. You and I and everybody in the body of Christ, we associate ourselves with each other. We are with each other. We love each other. We care for one another. We pray for one another. But you don't follow me. We all follow the Lord. He is the head of the body. If you're following him and I'm following him, then we have fellowship one with another. Do you see what I mean? And our fellowship is with him and with our Father. He is the one who is the example. He is the one who is the teacher. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on how he did things, how he spoke, how he lived. This is what he did with them, the disciples, the disciplined followers. They're all disciples here so far. There's nothing... You know, some people would say to me, well, gee whiz, they left their dad and followed. They just dropped them. Well, dad's got some hired servants. And I have a feeling as we read the other records here in the Gospels, you're going to see that there's a little bit more information that's given to us. It's not an evil thing to follow the Lord. Do you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean you want to be uncaring or unloving. You know, you get this mind picture, oh, they left their little old daddy who can't take care of himself. That's not, I don't think that's the way it should be looked at. And the Lord also didn't tell them to forsake everything that they had. All right? It's a, they left what they had and they followed him. From this point on, they're not full-time ministers. They're not working for the Lord and the Lord's feeding them every day. They put their tools down. They put their boat on the shore. They put their nets in the place that they belong Because later on, if you remember, after the resurrection, they all go back fishing. They didn't sell everything and forsake everything and walk away from it like an irresponsible businessman. The Lord's not asking for that. He's not demanding that. You know, most of the ministers in the Word of God were all working people. You know, they were all, Paul went from town to town and he worked for a living. He made saddles for an occupation. They call him a tent maker in the book of Acts, but it's really a saddle maker. Everybody worked because, you know, that. And then there's occasions where they didn't. And Paul, there was occasions where he didn't. But everybody's got to provide and take care of your business. That's not the issue. The point is, in your following Jesus, in your following him, in your being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you get your eyes on the Lord. Is he the master of your life? We say Jesus is Lord. Well, is he? That's really your question. And what I'm doing right now and the way I'm thinking right now, is Jesus my Lord? Am I obeying what he said? Believing what he said? Living my life the way he said? Or am I following myself or somebody else? Those are questions that we ought to ask ourselves all the time. And bring back to our own thinking quite often. Because that's what's important. And if you're following him, then you're catching men. That's the point. That's good news for the women, right? No, I'm only kidding. All right. So, yeah, two ladies here with me. One's my wife. So, but no, our mission is to go out and touch other people's lives and catch them. Now, I want you to think just in terms of the job of fishermen. There's one great fisherman that I can think of in our church. That's Bart McNeil. All right? This guy lives and breathes fishing. Jojo was, and he fell asleep, but Jojo was another man who loved the fish, right? And, but, you know, when my father took me out fishing, you know, the first thing he yelled at me about is, get your line in the water. Can't catch fish if you ain't got your line in the water. Stop talking, stop messing around, get busy, put the line in the water. And I thought about, you know, fishermen are not lazy people. They don't lay around on the beach and wait for the ocean to settle down. They're up early in the morning. They work hard. And just to think about it in basic ways. They work hard. You got to show up for the job if you're going to be a fisherman. Now remember, if this is a parable, this is like that. The way in which you've lived and made a living being a fisherman is exactly what it's going to take for you to catch men. All right? If this is a parable, which I believe it is, then it gives you this in the senses realm is just like this in the spiritual realm. So you got to work hard. You got to show up. You got to fish in the water. In other words, you got to go to the water because that's where the fish are. You got to know. You got to have a little bit of pre-thought. Where are the fish? You got to have a little understanding. You also have to have patience because it's not moving boxes. It's not these are the boxes that get moved over here. You're fishing. You're not catching. You're fishing. It's not going to the supermarket. It's not automatically there. It takes patience. Takes long suffering, and then it takes faithfulness, and it also takes preparation. your equipment has got to be working. If nets, he caught a couple of these guys mending their nets. Everything's got to be taken care of. Well, it's the same thing with moving the word. It's the same thing that Jesus did when he prepared himself. He got up early in the morning. He prayed. This was on his mind. This was on his heart. He spent his time with people. He went to those that had need. Numbers of times he was corrected by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why are you hanging out with sinners? Because these are the ones that need me. He went to where the fish were. You know, and these are not just, it's just common sense if you think about it. But to do it every day, whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, this is, if we're following our Lord and this is what our Lord is concerned with, then this is what we're doing. This is what's on our heart. This is primarily what's got to be on your heart when you're walking with the Lord. God's going to take care of every need you have in life. He's promised that. You're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things are going to be added to each and every one of you. Everything you need. You know, the world's crazy. So what? It's always been crazy, but it's a little crazier now. It's going to be even more crazy just before he comes. So get with the program. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. You'll have what you need. Do the job. You'll have what you need to take care of your life. And you will be blessed, a very blessed individual. I am so grateful and thankful. I love Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite times because you just sit around with the family if you can. And you're just grateful to be able to have a day to be together. You know, doesn't matter much whether I got a sandwich or a big dinner. I get to be with people I love. And I get to reflect on all the things I've been blessed with. And that's what I do. And that's what I have done since I can remember when I was with my mom and dad, when I was a little kid. I mean, we had a card table. I mean, we didn't have a table to eat at. We took out a little folding table, put it in the middle of the living room because we lived in a very tiny apartment. And we put the meal, you know, you couldn't put the turkey on the table because there wasn't enough room. You know what I mean? You just did what you had. And we were blessed. Blessed to enjoy that time together. You know? And it was good. I mean, we get to enjoy this life that we have together with the Lord. And to bring it back here, these disciples, these men were willing to, they had heard enough of the word and about Jesus. It wasn't some mystical moment where Jesus floated by Peter and John and the other. They didn't just float by and say, "Come, follow me." No, regular working guys don't drop the job and put things away and follow the master unless they've heard words, they've seen some of the things that he said and done, they believe, and now they have been invited to come and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they went. And I think you see this again if we look at, let me finish reading here in case I didn't. I think I left off in, I left off in 20. Okay, so it says in 21, it says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, they entered into the synagogue, and they taught." It says, and taught. He's teaching. He's, again, the purpose of their, They are there to watch him do the job. He's training them to do the teaching. Go to Luke 5. Luke 5. We'll start reading in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, so here is a different picture of pretty much the same event. Here Jesus has already got crowds, right? And he saw the two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for the draw." And Simon answered. Now, here it is. This is the same. Matthew and Mark are giving you just a little snippet. He came to, and he called them and said, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." There's no incident here. Now we have, this happened just before that. Jesus was teaching. He already had lots and lots of people trying to hear him teach, hear the words that he was speaking. He's up against the beach where Simon is. His boat's in the water. He gets in the boat, and he starts teaching the people from the boat. It's Peter's boat. Gets done with his preaching and teaching. He tells Peter, "Hey, go out and let down your nets." I mean, this is payment for the use of the boat, I guess. You know. And he entered into verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed for him that he would thrust out of the land. And he thrust out and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your net for the draw." And Simon answered and said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing." You know, sometimes that's the way it is when you're fishing. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Jesus says, "Let down your nets. Go on out there. Let it rip. You know, put down everything." And Peter says, "Oh, gee whiz. I'll let down a net." And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partner, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ship also, and it began, both ships, and it began. And so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draw of the fishes which were taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. So here it is. They heard him speak the word. The Lord came to the beach. They all heard him speak the word. All right? He used Peter's boat. He says to Peter, "Go on. I won't, you know, this is sort of like compensation. You don't use somebody's stuff for nothing." And, you know, it wasn't about taking care of Jesus. It was about Jesus taking care of them, even in the physical sense. They got enough fish almost to sink both boats off of one net. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." I'm going to have you catch men. And when they had brought their ship to the land, they forsook all and followed him. I'm pretty sure they sold the fish. But this was it. This was their calling. This was the beginning of their discipleship. These individuals had heard the word. They saw, they witnessed what Jesus had done with the fish, with the boat, with the word that he preached. It wasn't some, ooh, all of a sudden he passed by and said, oh, follow me. I think that that's pretty neat. And go to John. Let's see what John has to add to this. John chapter 1. Now, this is during the time of John the Baptist. And we're going to start reading here in let's just read 35. It says, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. So John is looking at Jesus walking, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So two of John's disciples heard this, and they decided to start following Jesus. And Jesus turned and said unto them, following, and he said unto them, what seek you? What do you want? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? And he said unto them, come and see. And they came and they saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. So who's witnessing to who first? Andrew speaks to Peter. Andrew is a disciple of John the Baptist. Andrew heard John say, this is the Lamb of God. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, which is in being interpreted the Christ, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And the day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee and find Philip, and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip finds Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Are you kidding me? You found the Messiah, who's the son of Joseph, coming out of Nazareth. Is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth? Just think of a neighborhood that you just don't think anything good can come out of. That was his attitude. That was Nathanael's attitude concerning where Jesus was growing up. And then He said, come and see. Philip said unto him, come and see. In verse 47, and Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, of whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. So Jesus says to Nathanael, I had a vision of you when you were hanging out under the fig tree, and your brother Philip, you know, came by and started talking to you. And what was his reaction? Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Quite a record of these men being called out, huh? There's more to it, isn't there, than just Matthew and Mark would let you to believe. A lot more to it. But it's all still the same wonderful point. They heard the word. They knew this man because of the word that he spoke, the gospel of the kingdom that he was preaching and teaching. They understood and they knew that this man was doing miracles and signs and wonders. They were all working people. There wasn't an intellectual among them. Later on, Matthew's going to be added to this group. He's a tax collector. He's actually a traitor. And then there's a couple others, right? You're going to have 12 eventually. He's got more disciples than 12, because later on he takes from the disciples, he picks 12, which means you have to have more, right? And he makes them apostles, sent ones. But you can't be anything unless you follow. See, that this is the point. You hear the word, you keep your eye on the Lord, and you follow. You follow him. You follow his teachings, folks. You follow his actions. You do what he did. You live the way he tells you to live. You move the word, you preach the gospel, you do what the Lord says. And you do it with the same attitude and care that he did. We got compassion in our heart, but we also have the same kind of abruptness when it comes to ungodliness, like the Pharisees had, the hard-heartedness that other people have. There are people who just want to hate. That's what they like to do. They, you know. I remember that those kinds of days in my life. There are people who just, you know, they grew up hating. They dislike everything, anything. You know, they got a bad attitude about everything and anything. And you can't do hardly anything to please them except agree with them. That's about the only thing that pleases those kind of folks. You agree. You get on my team. The team I want to be on is the Lord Jesus Christ's team. I choose to be a disciplined follower of my Lord. And if you're going to be a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you put on the word, you do what he did, you walk like he walked. You serve, you love, you're forgiving, you're compassionate, and you choose to do it his way. He's our Lord. We keep our eyes on him. Nobody else. Nobody else. All of us are human beings. We all fall down. We all fall short. And there's nobody to hold up as, oh, this is a greater person than these other believers. No. Everybody falls short. The only one that didn't was our Lord. He's our master. They were not lazy men. They worked hard, and you know what? They all worked hard after they were called with Jesus. They watched him. They learned from him. They asked a lot of stupid questions, and they learned. And they were put in really, really, really tough places with the religious leaders, with their society, probably everything else. And they were willing to do the price. They were willing to pay it. There were times they had before the day of Pentecost, they had no understanding of what was going on. But when Jesus nailed everybody, if you remember that teaching he did in John chapter 6, where he starts saying, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they were all offended in him and everybody left. And they were still there. And he says, oh, you guys are still here? He says, well, where are we going to go? You're the Christ. You know, the Son of the living God. And the Lord says to Peter, he says, well, my Father revealed that to you. They were willing to pay the price, even though it was above their head. And their understanding was not complete. They stuck with the program. And what a bunch of guys. And, you know, if church history is correct, which I don't know, I'm not really putting my stamp of approval on anything outside the Bible. But if church history is correct, all of them were martyred in their life for what they believed, with the exception of John. John's the only one who was exiled and died in his bed. But every one of them was martyred. Peter was killed. I know Paul was. It doesn't tell me in the Bible how all the rest of them went. But like I said, if church history is correct, then I don't know. They've all got them being martyred. So I know this much, that they stayed faithful. And they were fishers of men. The reason you and I sit here today is because they did the job. They went, just like it says in Acts, Jesus said to them, in that day you're going to receive power from on high. And from Jerusalem to Judea, unto Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth, they're going to be witnesses unto me. That's our life. That's what our calling is to do. God will take care of every one of your needs in the meantime. He'll take care of all of your stuff. Just witness. Witness for him. And witness to the kids. Witness to the old people. Witness to them all. But bring them to him. Not to a group. Don't bring them to a place. Bring them to him. And then if you bring them to him, they'll hang out with other people who want to be with him. You know, like our little fellowship here. And when I get to see those of you who are online, get to be together again and enjoy each other. You know, but that's what this is about. Regular working people doing basically the same process. Because just go to 1 Peter. You know, you can't tell me that Peter didn't work hard. It wasn't always right. The number of times he's used as, well, he missed it. He didn't get it right. But Peter got it faithful. You know, Peter in his worst day is probably better than all the unbelievers that ever lived. So I'm not knocking my friend Peter here. In 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to think of this in light of fishing. You know, as a workman. It says in verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." If you're going to go out and be a catcher of men, you got to be prepared for the job that's in front of you. You've been asked questions of people all many times, and you've had these same questions when you weren't so sure about the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Are you setting yourself apart in your heart to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of that hope that's in you? Are you ready to answer the questions with Scripture that they ask of you? Well, how come God allows so much evil in the world? How come babies die? How come all this evil happens? Do you got a scriptural answer for these people? Are you prepared? Are you setting the net? Are you prepared with an answer, a biblical answer? Not your opinion. Your opinion is as good as mine. It's worth nothing. Opinion, everybody's got an opinion. What does the Word say? Are you prepared? Are you preparing yourself? When someone asks a question, maybe one day at work or someplace else, and you don't have an answer for them right this second, are you going home and you preparing the answer next time you see them? Hey, you know, hey, Joe, you asked me this question the other day. I found a scripture in the Bible to answer you. And show them where it is. That'll be impressive. Most of them don't even know what's in the Bible, let alone find the place. Can't be ready always to give an answer. You are on the job. You're going to work. You're putting the net, you're preparing whatever it is. You know, they use nets, they didn't use bait. You prepare your net, your equipment is ready to give an answer to the people that you're out to catch. They need the Word. Just like Peter, James, John, just like Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, they all heard the Lord teach. They heard other people, one of the others heard them teach, and then they, wow, let me bring my brother along so he can hear. But it was the Word that catched them, not their personality. It was the Word. And you want to give them the reason of the hope that's in you. You know, I know the Lord's coming back. I know that this life is temporary, that this evil world is going to come and it's going to fall in on itself. I mean, I've already read the future history that it talks about. I am not going to be surprised. Right? So, what am I doing? If I already know that these things are going to get like that, then I just got to go to work. I just got to go fishing. And I do this with meekness, not arrogance, and respect, fear. I hold forth the Word just like Jesus did. He said, "Come follow me." Then he sat them down. After one of those records, he sat them down. And the first public teaching that you see is the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, the humble. The meek, Blessed are those that hunger and thirst, you know, for they shall be filled. When you find somebody that hungers and thirsts to know, first they want to know the answers to the questions they've had all their life. They don't care about what you're thinking. They want the answers to the questions that they have had their whole life. What happens to me after I die? Am I going to be with my loved ones? My granddaughter wanted to know if her dog who had died is going to be in the kingdom. You got an answer? Are you going to tell them the truth? Because that's what I told my granddaughter. Said, no, but God's going to give you all the animal friends that you want. I'm not going to lie. It's no comfort. And if I lied to you on this one when you're a little kid, why would you believe me when you get to be an adult that I was telling the truth? See, that's the nasty thing about lies, because once you lie to somebody, why would they ever really have absolutely no question that you would tell them the truth? There's always that small doubt in the back of their mind. You follow me? Absolute integrity is absolutely important. So let's discipline. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ, what he said, what he teaches, what he did. And let's be prepared to give an answer to those that are out there. So that's what I wanted to share with you all. All right.